All right, so as we've been studying the book of Exodus, we know that God called Moses. He called him by name. He called this humble shepherd to be his deliverer. He gave Moses a purpose. He gave Moses a plan. And what we have seen so far in Exodus chapter 3, and as we move into Exodus chapter 4, is that Moses has struggled with focus. He struggled with focus. He's struggling with this plan and the purpose that God has for him. But what we do know is that when his focus is on God, he sees what God can do to him and through him. God made incredible promises to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. And so what we're going to see in Exodus chapter 4 is that the struggle doesn't go away. Moses continues to struggle. He continues to struggle with God's plans for his life. Can anybody identify with Moses? Anybody? Like, there are times in my life, right? Even still, even now, there are times when I struggle with God's plan for me, with God's purposes for me. Listen, that's just the flesh, right? Paul says all the time that his flesh and his spirit battle daily, right? He knows what he ought to do, but he doesn't do it. And he knows what he ought not to do, but he does it. And that's the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And I believe we're going to see Moses really struggle in the flesh. We're going to see that in this passage. So Moses, he takes his eyes off of God and he puts it on himself. And here's what he finds. He finds himself lacking. He sees what he's not. He sees what he can't do, but God, amen? Marty likes those two words. She uses them all the time at my house, but God. But God provides, and God will provide for Moses. And he's already told Moses that, but he's going to have to tell him again in Exodus chapter 4. So let's go ahead and dig in, and we're going to split this up into a few passages. We're going to cover the first five verses. Exodus chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Moses answered, "What if?" Now, you know it's already going to be bad when you start out with "what if," right? God says you're going to do incredible things, and the first two words that comes out of Moses' mouth is "what if," right? So he says, "What if they do not believe me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." See, I would have a problem right there. Anybody else? Like, I'm like, "Hey, God, I love you. I trust you, but can you turn that thing back into a stick before I grab it?" So I identify. So Moses reached out and he took hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you." So in verse 1, we find the first area. This is the first area of lacking in Moses' life that God has to deal with. And here it is. Moses lacks trust and confidence. He lacks trust and confidence. So in asking about the Israelites' lack of belief, he actually reveals his own lack of belief, right? He says, "What if the Israelites don't believe that you sent me?" It sounds like he's saying, "Hey, what if the Israelites don't believe?" But what he's really revealing in the question is that maybe he's having a problem believing, right? So remember, this whole conversation started with a question. In Exodus chapter 3, do you remember the first question that Moses asked when God spoke to him? Moses asked this question, "Who am I?" You remember that? So this whole conversation started with Moses going, "Wait a minute, who am I to be your deliverer? Who am I to go and do this incredible work?" So God had already told Moses in chapter 3 that the Israelites will listen to you. See how quick Moses has forgotten? I mean, for us, this goes from one chapter to the next. But this is one conversation that God is having with Moses. And he's already forgotten that God has already made a promise that the Israelites will listen to you. That's what God says in Exodus chapter 3. So Moses is struggling with a lack of trust and a lack of confidence. And so God deals with him. But I love the way God deals with him. First of all, God is patient. God is patient with Moses. Anybody in here thankful for God's patience? I don't know about you, but I am. Because I know I can burn some patience up, okay? Just ask some of these people who've raised me in this church, right? I have worn some patience out. I am so glad that God is still patient with me. Moses didn't earn that, and Moses didn't deserve that. God chose to be patient with Moses, just like he chooses to be patient with you and me. Not only that, but God gives Moses a sign of both power and authority. God gives him a sign of power and authority. So remember, Moses, he's a humble shepherd. And like any other shepherd that day, he possessed a staff, not a scepter, right? Remember, he had a staff in his hand, not a scepter. A king had a scepter, right? Moses had a staff, but it wasn't just any staff. It was a staff that God spoke to, a staff that God touched, right? So God turns Moses' staff into a snake. And do you think that's a coincidence? No, it is not. Do you know what was on the scepter of Pharaoh? A snake. A snake was carved into the scepter of Pharaoh. It was also carved into the crown that Pharaoh wore. So a snake was a very, it was an animal used symbolically in Egypt. And God knew that. So the staff that was in Moses' hands would actually be a sign of God's powerful presence in his life. And it would also be a sign of his awesome authority in Egypt. So God is doing an incredible work. And again, Moses is struggling because Moses, he's lacking, right? He's lacking trust and he's lacking confidence. And you would think that's enough, but that ain't it. That ain't the only place he's lacking. Look at verse 6. God continues to talk to him. Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe those two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." So God, he knows that Moses is struggling with his trust. He knows that Moses is struggling with his confidence. And God says, "Hey, they're going to listen to you, right? But if they don't listen to you, you're going to have power and authority that they're going to see." And so God answers Moses now with powerful miracles. He said, "You're going to be able to work miracles in front of the people." These were important miracles that Moses would be able to perform because he would be empowered by God. So Moses wouldn't do this in and of himself. He would do this God with him and God through him. And so God is taking care of the confidence, right? That lack of confidence that Moses has, God's going to give him confidence. But here's the thing. It's not confidence in himself. It's confidence in God. And I'm going to tell you, that's what we need more than anything. We don't need this. Listen, I mean, I'm still a coach at heart, okay? I'm a motivator. I'm an encourager. I love that. I love people who are self-confident But I'm just going to tell you, confidence in God will go a lot further and do a lot more for you than self-confidence. I'm just telling you. Because there's going to be times in your life when self-confidence is gone. There's going to be times in your life when you don't succeed. There's going to be times in your life when you fail and your self-confidence is gone. But if you have confidence in God, He'll pick you back up and He'll put you right back on the starting line. And that's what Moses needed. His confidence wouldn't be in himself. His confidence would be in God. And so not only that, but God gives him power. God gives him power over disease and nature. I mean, it's very specific, right? It's very specific. When I say disease, right, he showed Moses leprosy. I mean, Moses, he puts his hand in his cloak and he pulls it out and he's a leper. But he puts it back in, puts it back out, and now it's gone. So he's showing Moses, hey, you're going to have power over disease. Not only that, you're going to have power over nature. You're going to be able to turn water into blood and then turn that blood back into water. Like it's incredible the power that God is giving him. And listen, you know, I think about these signs that God is giving Moses. Why is God giving Moses these signs? Because he knows that Moses needs to know him personally and needs to know him intimately. And I just believe that God won't withhold anything from you to know him better. He won't. I believe he'll do whatever he's got to do so that you can be intimate with him and know him better. As a matter of fact, I think about one of the most amazing signs that God has given us, and that is his son, Jesus Christ, right? A sign, a symbol of his love for us. God came to us, Emmanuel, God with us, right? I believe that. He wants us to know him personally. He wants us to know him intimately, and he wants us to enjoy relationship with him. And so our confidence is not in self. Our confidence is in God. And when God makes a promise, what does he do? He keeps it. And Moses is struggling with that, but God ain't struggling here. God ain't the one struggling. Moses is, but God knows that. And so he's doing everything he can to speak into Moses' life and to show Moses, hey, I love you. I have called you. I have empowered you. I have enabled you. You can. I'm going to tell you, there's probably somebody in this room tonight that needs to hear God say, you can. Because you're looking in the mirror saying, I can't. Or you're looking back over your shoulder at your past and going, I can't. You need to hear God say, I can. That's what you need to hear. You need to hear God say, I can. Because I'm just telling you, that's what Moses needed. So Moses, again, still struggling. Look at verse 10. This is a dangerous conversation. Watch what he says. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. You know what that is? That's an excuse. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. Do you notice what God keeps saying to Moses? Go. Go. He says, now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So now Moses is not just struggling with trust and confidence. Now Moses is struggling. He's lacking communication skill. I mean, he looks at himself and says, I can't speak for you. I can't speak to them. I can't, right? So Moses tells God that he's never been eloquent and he's not even eloquent now. He feels insufficient for the job. Anybody in here ever felt insufficient? Right? Listen, I don't think that's a bad thing to feel insufficient. I think it's a bad thing to stay in insufficiency. I think there's a humility in feeling insufficient, but I think that can become prideful when you make that your excuse. I think that you say, how can that be prideful when you think that God can't do something for you to make you what he wants you to be? That's pride. That's not humility anymore. That's pride. And I believe Moses was teetering on that humility and pride scale. He was in a dangerous place here because he said, I've never been able to speak. And even since you've talked to me, Lord, I'm not able to speak. Do you see what that's at? God's saying, hey, I will help you. I will teach you. So God basically says, I'm going to give you supernatural ability and skill. That's what God says. I'm going to give you supernatural ability and skill to communicate. So God tells Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you speak. I'm going to teach you how to speak and what to say. So what we've seen so far is that God guarantees Moses, right? Guarantees Moses his presence, guarantees Moses his power, and guarantees Moses his authority. And Moses is going to continue to struggle. Watch verse 13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Now, I want you to think about that statement before I read any more. And I want you to think about one of the first statements Moses made when God spoke to him from the burning bush. Do you remember when God said, Moses, Moses, what did Moses say? Here I am. Here I am. And now his statement is, please send someone else. That's a contradictory statement. Then, look at verse 14. This is why I said it was getting to be dangerous. Verse 14. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform signs with it. So we've seen Moses lack with confidence, trust, and we've seen Moses lack in communication. Now we see a very dangerous area of lacking, and it's commitment. Moses lacks commitment. You say, Brother Jeff, how can you say that? Because after all he has seen and after all he has heard, his response to God is, please send somebody else. Please send somebody else. That's not humility. That's pride. So he continues to shift focus from God to self, even after God has been patient with him, even after God has made incredible promises to him. In my opinion, this is the one area that hurts God the most, right? God, I believe that's why it said that the Lord's anger burned against him. Now understand, this is righteous anger, all right? So this is not, God doesn't sin, all right? So when you and I get angry, that anger can become sinful, right? But the anger of God is called a righteous anger. In other words, he has a right to be angry, okay? So this is not a sinful thing. So don't let anybody ever tell you, you know, that God gets angry and he tells us not to get angry. It's a righteous anger, and that's a big difference. So this is an area, listen, when I think about commitment, I remember me and Mr. Wayne, we were talking one time, and we were just talking about commitment. And we were talking about how people are so committed to so many other things, they just can't commit to church. They can't commit to ministry. They can't commit to service because they're too committed to other things. I just believe commitment is a problem with all of us. I really do. I think this is an area that's hard for the family. It's an area that's hard for the community. It's hard for the workplace. It's hard for the church. And I love Pastor Tony Merida. So when I was going to Louisiana College working on my master's degree, I had to read a lot of books by Pastor Tony Merida. And in one of his books, and I'm sorry I forgot to write down which book it was, but I wrote down the quote. I love what he says about Moses in this passage. He says this. He says, this final excuse was not so much an excuse as it was a desperate plea to pass the responsibility to someone else. That's a powerful statement. It sounds like an excuse, but it's not an excuse anymore. When he says, please send somebody else, Moses realized that he can't talk about confidence, he can't talk about trust, he can't talk about being able to speak, right? Well, you know, my hip hurts and I'm just not going to be able to walk that far. He realizes now he can't come up with any more excuses. So what does he do? He just says, I don't want this responsibility. Please send somebody else. Give this responsibility to somebody else. Pastor Merida goes on to say, and I didn't put this on your handout, he goes on to say, Moses was out of excuses. Every one of his questions were answered by God in stunning ways. And now Moses basically says, here I am, but I don't want to do it. Here I am, but I don't want to do it. And so I thought that was pretty powerful. And so what happens is, Moses' lack of commitment to God, right, to God's call in his life, let's just call it what it is selfishness. That's what it is. It's selfishness. You're saying, Brother Jeff, how can you call that selfishness? Because his focus is on himself. It's on himself. I can't speak, right? They won't believe me. They won't believe that you spoke to me. His focus is on what he can't do, right? That's what it's on. So it's not about what God thinks of him. It's about what he thinks of himself. So I wonder, right, how many of us think of ourselves as selfish? Yet when we tell God, I'm not good enough, God, my past won't allow me to, you fill in the blank. When we tell God we can't, we are being completely selfish. Completely selfish. Because what God calls clean is clean. What God calls new is new. When God says forgiven, guess what? It's forgiven. When God says you can, guess what? You can. So I love what Pastor Merida says there, right? He says this was selfish. This was selfish. And so God answers Moses with that righteous anger, right? He answers him with righteous anger. But don't you see, he also answers him with grace and mercy. He answers him with grace and mercy. So God says, hey, your brother Aaron is already on his way to meet you. You think God already had something stirring? He obviously already had something stirring, right? Aaron was already on his way. And so he says, Aaron's going to come. He's going to help you. I'm going to help both of you. You're going to be able to speak and act with me, with my help. So God reminds Moses. He says, hey, and don't forget that staff. Don't you like that? Don't forget that staff. You need to take that staff with you because that is Moses' reminder. That's his reminder. That's his sign of God's personal, powerful, and intimate presence. And so I love that. And what I see in this passage, you might say, well, Brother Jeff, what does this passage have to do with me today? Right? What does this passage do for me today? How can I take this passage and apply it to my life and live? And I did this personally. This is what I said to me, right? God knows me better than I know myself. He knows me better than I know myself. And I'm going to tell you something else. He expects more from me than I expect from me. Think about that for just a second. He knows me better than I know me. But he also expects more from me than I ever expect from myself. You remember this morning, if you were here, I talked about that Major League Baseball all-star mentality, right? If I'm batting 300, I'm an all-star. I'm good. I'm getting paid millions. Well, if you're batting 300 with God, that ain't so good. That ain't so good, right? The standard you set for yourself, it'll never measure to the standard God sets for you. You want to know why? Because God created you and he knows what you're capable of. And when God created you and God created me, he had purposes and plans for us that go way further than our feeble little minds can comprehend. So I love that. He knows me better than I know myself. He expects more from me than I expect from myself. You see, his calling in my life, his calling in your life, it is perfect and it is powerful and it is purposeful. And the thing is, it's not about you. It's not about you. Was this about Moses? No. This was about God's children who were captive, who were enslaved, right? This is about redemption of many, many people. And so when you're thinking about your calling, it can be tempting to think this is about you, but it's not. It's about God in you and God through you for more than you can possibly imagine. Someone, somewhere, needs to see your light shine, needs to hear your voice, needs to see you living out the Word of God. And so we've come to a place where, you know, as Christ followers, we come to these places where our trust grows, our confidence grows, but we keep looking back in those areas of lacking, don't we? We keep looking back at those areas of lacking. And are there areas in your life where you're lacking? That's not a trick question. Yeah. I mean, are there areas in my life where I'm lacking? Absolutely. I don't need you to tell me. Okay? You could probably say, yeah, let me tell you about some of the areas you're lacking. I'm not asking for your opinion. I know where I'm lacking, right? But God. But God. He can take that area of lacking and turn it around. He can fill you up. Jesus came and lived a perfect life that we couldn't live. Jesus came and died a sacrificial death for us. He rose from the grave to defeat sin and death. Yes. Yes, he saved me from death. But here's the thing. He saved me to live. Think about that. We always think about being saved from death, and that's great. But he also saved me to live, because Jesus said he wanted you to have life right here, right now, and have it what? Fully, abundantly. And so don't forget that. Yes, Jesus saved you from death. He saved you from the wrath of God, but he saved you so that you could live, so that you could live out the purpose and the plan that God has for you. And it's the purpose and plan that goes way further than you can possibly comprehend. Like, I've been reading in 2 Corinthians, and I've been reading in Hebrews, and there's just three words that have been on my mind this whole month. Like this, the month of June. I've got it written in my little journal. I've got it written all over my desk. You've probably seen me post it. Three words. God is able. I've been saying that all month. God is able. And you can keep going. God is able to do way more, abundantly more than you could ever imagine with you. His purposes and plans are perfect, but you've got to trust him. You got to put your confidence in him. And that's the question, right? There's two questions that I want to end with. Number one, are we just going to keep focusing on the things we lack? Is that what we're going to do? We're just going to keep focusing on what we lack, what we don't have, what we can't do? Or will we focus on the presence of Almighty God in us and the promises he makes to us. I don't know about you, but I want to focus on him. I want to focus on his presence in my life. I want to focus on his promises because I know God loves me. And I know God wants to use me in his kingdom. I know that. How do I know that? Isaiah chapter 43. Wednesday night, we had some testimony time and Miss Jackie Walters was giving her testimony and she quoted Isaiah 43. She said, I think you've heard this verse before, right? I think you have. And you're going to hear it again. Isaiah 43:1, God says, I formed you, Israel. I created you, Jacob. You are mine. When the waters get deep, you won't drown. When the fires get hot, you won't be set ablaze. Why? Isaiah 43:7, because I created you for my glory. If God created you and he created me for his glory, don't you know he's going to help you be who he created you to be? Don't you know he's going to empower you and enable you and give you opportunities to do exactly why he created you? To glorify him? Why would we ever doubt that? Why would we ever doubt that? Why do we doubt that? I'll tell you why we doubt that. Because we take our eyes off of him and we put it on us. Anybody in here ever disappointed yourself? Can we all just say amen? I've disappointed myself a bunch. Anybody in here ever disappointed somebody else? Amen. Anybody in here ever been disappointed by somebody else? Amen. All right? So we can keep doing that all day long. We can drown in that disappointment. Disappointment of self, disappointment of someone else. And we can focus on that. But I want you to understand, that's not humility. That is pride. It's not being humble when you say, well, I'm just not as smart. I'm just not as fast. I'm just not as strong. That's pride. That's not humility. That's pride. Okay? Humility is something else. And I don't have time to teach that tonight, but you read the Bible, God will show you what humility is. Humility is stop focusing so much on you and focus on somebody else. That's humility, in short. Stop thinking of yourself so much and think about others. That's humility in a nutshell, okay? So those two questions. Am I going to focus on me and what I lack and what I can't do and where I failed and how I failed? Or am I going to focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit of God baptized me when I confessed and repented of my sin and believed in Jesus Christ in my heart? Am I going to focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit baptized me, marked me, and sealed me as a child of God, and that is who I am? That's in the Gospel of John, by the way. Am I going to focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit of God leads me, guides me, and directs me, gives me wisdom to understand God's word, to believe God's word, and then walk in it? I don't know about you, but that's what I want to focus on. I want to focus on that. Because if I focus on that, I ain't got time to focus on me. I ain't got time to focus on me. And if I'm focusing on God and I'm focusing on his word and his spirit and his presence and his power in my life, guess what? I ain't going to have a problem glorifying him. I'm going to glorify him. I'm going to glorify him in the way that I talk to someone, in the way that I serve someone, in the way that I move in this world. I'm going to give him glory because I'm focused on him. And he's going to enable me to do that. So I hope this helps you tonight. And it certainly helps me. Next Sunday night, we're going to finish up chapter 4. And guess what? It's easy. God kept telling Moses, go. Guess what Moses is going to do? He's going to go.